Good evening, everybody. Good to see so many people here tonight. That's really encouraging. It's really good. And just before we start, if you've come expecting to have communion tonight, it looks like we're not having communion because it hasn't happened. So we'll be having probably communion next week instead. But so sorry about that. If that's the only reason you came out tonight, I apologise. No, don't leave. So as you've heard, you've read in Pew's News tonight. We've called the Barnabas Breather, which is a rather strange title for a service, I have to admit. But it's all really about encouraging. We often have services where we call sharing services, or more recently, what is God saying and doing, when we're listening out for. Well, what God is saying and doing and sharing with each other. This is a little bit the same, I have to say, but the emphasis is slightly different, because the emphasis is on encouraging one another. And the idea came from Acts 4:36, where it talks about, where Luke writes about this guy called, I think his name was Joseph, actually, but he was given a nickname by the apostles of Barnabas. That was his nickname. It wasn't his real name, and Barnabas means helper or encourager, or more literally, I think, son of encouragement. And the breather bit was really about, you know, now and again we all need to stop and take. Stock of where we are, and need to take a breather, need to take a deep breath in. So that's really the idea of tonight. We're sort of stopping and listening, and we're taking a deep breath in, and which is going to give us increased impetus and vigor to, you know, get out there and do God's work. That's the idea. So I have to say, I don't know how tonight is going to go at all. This might be a very short service, but we're praying before that. That's not my problem, or any of our problem. We're handing it over to the Holy Spirit tonight, just to lead, because the idea is that we want each one to, you know, just pass on some of the encouragements that you've had. Many references, of course, in the Bible. We read one this morning in our reading, Proverbs 15. It says, a person finds joy in giving an apt reply. How good is a timely word? That's great, isn't it? How good is a timely word? And then in verse 30, light in a messenger's eyes brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. Health to the bones. And as I mentioned this morning, when Paul Evans... I never forget that image of Paul Evans. He looked almost dead when he finished that marathon. But he said he could finish. He could only finish it because of all the people that were cheering for him, and that gave him the courage and the energy to go on. And again, as I said this morning, in case you weren't there, Nicky Gumbel describes encouragement as verbal sunshine, which I really like that. And he said, it costs nothing to do it, and it warms other people's hearts and inspires them with hope and confidence in their faith. And he goes on to say, we all need Barnabases around us to do that, to, you know, give us the strength to go on. So let's just commit this time to God in prayer, and then I'll hand over to Andy, and then we'll do a bit more. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that we are your people. We thank you, Lord, for the many promises that you give to us through your word. Lord, we thank you for the so many encouragements that you give us through other people, through the things that we see around us, through the things that we read, maybe. Lord, I thank you that you are such a multifaceted God and that you work in so many different ways. And Father, we pray tonight that as we just hand this meeting over to you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will just touch our hearts, Father. Lord, that will bring things to our memory tonight, Lord, that can be a blessing to each other. So, Lord, now then, as we just lift our voice in song, I pray, Lord, that this tonight may be a turning point for many of us. Lord, when we when something clicks, maybe that we've been thinking about, or just the affirmation, Lord, maybe in something that we hear tonight, Lord, that we know and that we are sure that you are in control, and you are the Almighty God. So we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I just remember one thing that I meant to say, actually, before we start. I think it'd be good to... I don't know whether you heard the news just before we came out. There's been a really nasty accident in Scotland, in Motherwell, tonight, with at a fairground and a roller coaster car has come on the track and fell upside down 30 feet onto a children's roundabout, as far as we can make out. So, and so far they're saying there's 7 people hurt, but that's all I heard. But I just thought it would be good to just, as we gather together, just to pray for that, about that situation. 11. Father, we do. We just pray for those people in Motherwell tonight, Lord, who are well, for the ones that are injured, certainly. And Lord, we pray for your peace. We pray for the emergency services that are there right now, and we, Lord, we pray for the skill and for the insight that they need in situations like this, which thankfully don't happen every day. And Father, we do pray for parents and families of those that have been injured too. And Lord, we pray for your peace, and we pray for Lord, your comfort and your encouragement in that situation. Lord, we know nothing more about that situation other than what we've just heard on the news tonight. But Father, I do pray, Lord, that we commit that to you, and we ask, Lord, that that you would heal where healing is necessary, and Lord, that you would save people. We ask it in your name, Lord. Amen. Just a few practicalities for tonight. We've got a couple of microphones. So if you got something that you want to share and you don't want to come to the front, that's fine. We can bring one of these mics around to you. And you know, the things that I was thinking about were, we're not particularly involved or elaborate. Just because often God just talks to you in just the little things of life. One I was thinking of the other day, Angela calls me a fair weather biker, and I like to go out on my bike in the sunshine, yes. But occasionally I get caught in the rain, so I do have to drive right in the rain. But I was out on the cycle track over in Great Elm a couple of weeks ago, over towards Froome, and I was pedalling up this sort of incline. I thought it was quite steep, and I thought I was doing quite well, and because I had have all the gear on, you know, hat and fluorescent jacket and all the breathable biker wear that you have to wear. So I sort of looked the part, I suppose, a little bit. Anyway, I was cycling up this hill, and as I was doing so, just without warning, this guy just shoots past me. He was on an orange bike. He was upright. He had a satchel on his back. He was wearing sandals. No crash helmet. And he just zoomed straight up the hill. I'm not really sure why, but I head after him and actually caught him up. And I surprised myself, actually. And I was thinking afterwards, you know, that's a really good example of of being encouraged. And because the word encourage means some, because sometimes you can encourage people without you know it, you know. And this guy certainly did. He was totally unaware of me. I think I was very aware of him. And anyway, I did catch him up, and I followed him, and it was actually relatively easy because I had that impetus to do that. But I was thinking that very often, you know, that's the way that we can encourage people, like that guy that went past me on the bike, just by our the way that we live our lives. You know, people can look at us. We often say we're open books, don't we? We should be open books. And so that's one way that we can encourage other people. And other times, Paul, I think it was, said that we should be, we should spur each other on. No, I think it was probably Barnabas in Hebrews. I've got it written down somewhere. But that we should work out ways that we can spur each other on to encouragement. And so that's a very measured sort of form of encouragement, isn't it? Where we sit down and we look at people and we think, okay, they're in a particular spot at the moment. They perhaps need something. I wonder how I can encourage them. So that's another way of doing that. And yeah, it says in Hebrews 10:24. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. And this is probably written by Barnabas. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. So there's a measure of urgency about that. Because we know that we are in end times, so this can't go on forever. So perhaps little stories like that, they don't have to be very deeply theological, like that one wasn't, but something that you see and God tells you something about. Okay, so I'm going to hand the mic over now to anyone who wants to kick off. Thank you, Chris. Did I say if you don't want to come to the front, just stick your hand up and we can bring the mic to you.
Just now, John prayed for people that we don't know. I don't know how you feel, but when I can send a prayer chain and know that people are praying, it makes a huge difference to how I feel about the situation. And this last week, I've been in Rome with my granddaughter. I took her away for a treat. We woke up one morning and she'd got a sore throat. And within a couple of hours, she was full of sinus and feeling really, ugh. So she was saying, oh, when I'm like this, there's only one medicine that helps and I haven't got it with me. And I sent a prayer chain to Claire and to Gemma, and I knew that people were praying. We went to a pharmacy. We don't speak the language. We said, and you know, acted out, sore throat, and so he held up something. We could recognize the word decongestant. We could recognize words like paracetamol. And I said, I think that is the same as you have, but it's got a different name. She wasn't convinced, but we said, well, we'll buy it. She took the first tablet. Within half an hour, she was, you know, and every 4 hours she went, and then you gave her a tablet, she picked up again. It was just wonderful. But knowing that people were praying just made such a difference, and it made a difference to her because she knew that people were praying. And yesterday we had a horrendous journey back because everything went wrong, and we let people know, and we knew people were praying. And it's Kirsty, and you know Kirsty. She's one of the teenagers who stands at the front sometimes and does things. And she has such a strong faith. And just knowing that people were praying was such an encouragement to her to not worry and not get stressed about it. And it was such an encouragement to me to see her faith in that way. And so thank you for your prayers. And, you know, whenever we put out a prayer chain, I hope it has the same effect on you that it does on me, that knowing other people are praying makes a huge difference. And just, it makes a difference to the outcome too. So thank you.
This is just an extension of what John's just said, really. Just the picture came to me as John was speaking. Jos, my son, most of you know, races on his bike. And I went to watch him at Castle Coombe. And that's a big, massive Grand Prix. I don't know how long it is, but they go away and you don't see them for ages and you hope they're going to come around again. And it's just a mystery to me. This, it's so tactical. It's not just about going and racing. It's about working as a team. And there was one cyclist and he was miles in front, and I just thought, well, he's going to win. There's no way that group, that peloton behind, is going to catch him. Right to the last lap, they went with this young lad right in front, miles in front. And when they come round for the sprint, that guy that was in front had just lost it. He was right at the back. And it was all about that peloton that had worked together. They'd sheltered each other. They'd encouraged each other. And yes, somebody had to win. So there was a bit of at the end there. But it was about getting in the slipstream when there's wind against you. And I know that geese do that as well. I don't know anybody knows this thing. It's that thing, how geese fly, and they take it in turns to be at the front. And that was just a little bit about what Chris is saying, you know, supporting each other. And sometimes you need to be in the front. Sometimes you need to be in the back. And it's just about, if you think you're going to go out there and be on your own, you might feel, yeah, I'm winning, which is what that lad did. But then he was shot to pieces and he got spat out the other end. And that's what happens to us if we try and do everything on our own.
I had the picture of geese riding bikes there for one second. But that's great. But that is it's a conscious effort as well, isn't it, when you're in that group at the back, because you have to make that decision to hang back. And, you know, it's a bit like a, you know, coach as well in a football team, maybe, that you know, they're the ones that, you know, that they don't get the limelight very often, but the team couldn't work without them. So they're the ones that are really working so hard in the background. Tony.
Father God, we give you thanks for our church elders and deacons and all the members who work so hard. Give them strength, Lord. And Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I have got a story to tell you at all, but it's just a little something that was in the Tear Fund prayer diary for yesterday. I only read it this morning, but it just seemed very appropriate, so I'll just read it to you. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Dear Lord, thank you for the power of encouraging words. Help us to be a people who build each other up, spurring one another on to love and good deeds. Amen.
Hello, I've just got a story that encouraged me and encouraged somebody else. I met an old friend in the high street, and as we were just sort of saying hello, I said, "We must go for a coffee sometime." And she said, "Yes, now. I will wait for you in the Cocoa Lounge." And I was a bit taken aback because I was sort of thinking next week or something, you know. Anyway, I said, "Well, I've got to go and do this. So she said, "Well, you go on, I'll be waiting." So that's what happened. She was waiting with her coffee. And I'm usually quite chatty, but on that particular day, I thought, what are we going to talk about? Anyway, as soon as I sat down, she poured out this stream of problems, really. And I said, "Well, you know I'm in the church, don't you?" She said, "Well, yes, I remember you taking me to this thing in Chilcompton." I can't remember it, but she did. And she said, "And I do pray to Jesus." And I said, "Well, I could pray for you. We could pray for you." "Oh, yes," she said. "Well, do it now." So, I said, "Oh, all right then. Yeah, okay then, now." So anyway, we started praying. And then she said, hold my hand, because that's better, and you have to pray. And so we did that outside the Cocoa Lounge. And she doesn't go to church, but it was just so blessed me to see her like that. You know, she doesn't go to church, not because she don't want to, things with her husband and life and what have you, but I was just so encouraged. And when we finished praying, she just said, "This is amazing. The world looks so much brighter. I was meant to see you today." Isn't that nice?
Thanks, Jean. It's great when God takes us by surprise, isn't it? But so often we don't take it up. Thanks, Jean.
Thanks.
Ruth?
It's a bit different from the other stories, but I was just so encouraged recently I was talking with a friend, and I was just so encouraged to realise what a great and mighty God we actually have, who is always there with us. Because she said, "You know, there's over 7 billion people in the world." And she said, "Every single one of them has a different thumbprint." And I looked at my thumb and I thought, you know, it can only be a great and mighty God that created us, that in that little tiny bit, there's over 7 billion different prints. And I just felt so encouraged by that. So.
It kind of follows on from what Ruth just said. I just need to put my book down. You know, I've been going on for the last 18 months about how wonderful God's love is, and I don't apologise. It's just a little incident recently where God reminded me yet again of how much he loves each one of us. And I'd read the verse in Samuel that talked about the unfailing, I think this is in the Amplified Version, the unfailing, unsought, unlimited mercy and kindness of God. So I had that in my head for 2 or 3 days, this wonderful kindness of God. And it was when Welton Wanderers, I do apologise to my house group and to Arise, because they've heard this story before. We were out with Welton Wanderers. We were going to Timsbury. You think, oh, that's nice. But I wasn't expecting what I saw. I hadn't organised the walk. Somebody else, in fact, Bobby and another friend had organised it. And as we walked, it was a beautiful sunny day, which always helps. And we we were going through a field and we needed to turn through the hedge and then into another field, which meant we couldn't see what was coming as we went through the hedge. And we turned in through the hedge and turned, and in front of us was a beautiful wildflower meadow. And it had the farmer had mown a path through the middle, and I think that was to protect the flowers that were to come. It basically looked like buttercups, which was lovely enough. But as we got nearer the middle, there were literally hundreds and hundreds of orchids. It was absolutely beautiful, but what it did to me was overwhelm me yet again with how wonderful our God is. His creation is so special, and it felt as I walked into that field as if I was being drawn in. I was a bit sad, sorry, those of you who were there, that I was with Welton Wanderers, because what I really wanted to do was to lie down and revel in the beauty of these flowers and in God's wonderful love. But they would have thought I'd really lost it by then. But what I just knew just a little bit more about how much God loves us, and it was fantastic.
As some of you know, I work in a small village school, and we've only got 45 pupils in our school, so I get to know all of the children, and they're all different, and I get to know them really, really well. And being a small school, we've got a very small staff team, and we all have to pull our weight. We all have to do after-school clubs, which we absolutely hate with a passion. We all have to do extracurricular things. But the one thing I really enjoy doing, I get to do a Tuesday morning assembly with the children. And I'm asked to put in the Christian content. So they get Bible stories and we sing songs. And this week I did the Wise Man and the Foolish Man. And we were singing the old chorus about the Wise Man and the Foolish Man. And it was just wonderful for my spirits to just see all these children really engaged singing the song. And it was just a wonderful moment.
Through faith in Jesus, you have been justified and are declared innocent by God. Through faith in Jesus, you have peace with God. Through faith in Jesus, you now stand in God's grace. Redemption. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God, God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Jesus has paid the price for you. You've been redeemed by him. You have forgiveness of sins through his blood. God has lavished the riches of his grace on you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
It is wonderful, isn't it, the way that God... Mike always used to like that word, didn't he? Lavish. God lavishes his love on us, and we see it in so many ways, and thanks for those contributions there. It's really, that really in itself is encouraging. You can just sort of picture those things happening. Andy, could we perhaps sing another couple of worship songs, and then we can do a bit more? We can stand up and you can stretch your legs. Father, thank you that, Lord, that you have promised that you will be with us. Lord, that you are here in this place. Lord, Father, we do just so want to see the power of your Spirit just working through each one of us, through us all together as a group, but certainly through each one of us in our daily lives. Lord, May that the words of those, that song that we've just sung, just go with us through this week. And Lord, may we be open to you working your wonders through us. Lord, even though that might be scary, Lord, I pray that you would just make us bold enough to want to make ourselves available for you this week. Amen. Thank you, Lord. One thing I've just thought of that Elizabeth reminded me earlier is that we should give a special welcome to the new Mr. and Mrs. Seal. Almost forgot. Mr. and Mrs. Seal. Good to see Adrian and Andrea back. You've had a few days up in the Cotswolds, and you had a good time. You're still smiling anyway. Yeah. And we just want to pray for you now and just to encourage you as a group here together. Father, Lord, we thank you for Adrian and Andrea, and we thank you, Lord, for the way that you have led them together. We thank you for that service that when they came together in Chilcompton, for the days away that they've had, Father. And we pray, Lord, that as they go on in their now married life together, we pray, Lord, that you would bless them. Lord, we pray that you would just open up opportunities and new vistas for them as they seek to serve you in their lives together. Lord, we pray for the children and Adrian's children, and we ask, Lord, that you would bless them. And we pray for grace, Lord, that they would just be able to accept one another in that new family structure, and Lord, which is not easy. But Father, we pray for your love and your peace to be on that family, and I pray that you would make them a great blessing and a great encouragement to other people as well. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just before I just hand over the mic again, so if there's more people that still an opportunity, it's just one other thing that I wanted to say. I wonder if you could put that picture up, Martin. It's a bit of a strange picture, but again, this is a picture that I often see when I'm on my bike. This is up the. This is bike again. I must get a lot of my inspiration when I'm on the bike. Is that Steve? You've spoiled it. No, one of the reasons I like this is it's nice and well. It's almost flat. This is from Radstock through to Mells, and it is an incline, but it's about one in about 20,000, I think. But one thing that I often used to see, and you can see this picture, it wasn't taken recently, was the state of these railway lines. And every time I saw them there, because it's not, for those of you who don't know, it's a cycle track now, but it used to be a railway track. And it always used to strike me as very sad, this picture, or this view, because it was a picture of disuse, decay, and all those sorts of words that you can think of, because this once was a thriving railway line. Took coal from Radstock, I guess, out to Froome and onwards. And now doesn't do anything except make quite a nice subject for a photograph. And every time I saw it, it used to fill me with a bit of despair. And then probably 2 or 3 months ago, I saw it again. And it was like, it was almost like sort of God telling me, and this is probably what sort of triggered off this evening, actually. And that was that God said, actually, that is not a picture of disuse, decay and despair. It's a picture of future potential. When you think about this particular railway line, you know, you can see the rails are still there. The sleepers are probably rotted away, so need replacing, and some of the ballast will need replacing. But there's no houses built there, so it's quite feasible that this line. In fact, they are now renovating the other end of it. Since I took this picture, to actually run railway carriages along it. Quite how profitable that will be is another question. But it was like God was saying, I see potential, I see possibilities here, and I see a real purpose in these tracks and a promise even. And immediately when I heard those words in my mind, I thought about the story of the prodigal son, because so often, if you're like me, you see yourself sometimes like those railway tracks there. We see ourselves as fairly useless, perhaps overgrown with cares and sins that beset us, as Paul talks about. And we can't see a way out. But remember that the prodigal son, the story that Jesus told when the son was far off. Hiya. Are you next? When the son was far off, he looked and said, you know, I need to go back to my father. And the father, of course, welcomed him unconditionally. He held his. In fact, he ran towards him, didn't he? When he saw the son coming, and because the father loved him, with no strings attached, it was totally unconditional, and he saw the purpose in his son, and he saw what his son could be. He saw what he had been, but he saw what he could be. And he gave him the best robe, so he restored his honor. And it's all about restoration, this picture for me. The encouragement of how God can restore each one of us. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter where we've been. It doesn't matter how we feel. It doesn't matter what we feel we look like to other people in our spiritual life. God can and will restore us. We are the prodigal son running towards the father. And he put the ring on his finger, so he restored his status as his son. And he put shoes on his feet, so he restored the comfort that he once knew and the strength from having something on his feet. And they killed the fatted calf. So the father didn't hold back. He just welcomed him back. So that's certainly an encouragement for me, and I hope it is to other people. Did you get that, Steve? Thanks, Martin. Oh, well, there is another picture, actually, if you want to put that up. This is the track at Midsummer Norton, so it's not the same track that we were looking at, but a few years ago, those tracks there actually weren't there. There's a few bits of track were totally overgrown, like that other one was. And now, whilst you could hardly call this a thriving railway line, but it does work, you know, and it provides opportunity for people to go and have rides on it. They will never get anywhere much further than Jill Compton, but just to underline the point, thanks. Now, anyone else? Neil, thank you.
Yeah, can you bring that picture up again? I just wanted to... I wasn't here this morning, so I don't know what... that's good. I don't know what went on this morning, but I heard it was really good. I heard it had a really good speaker, so I was a bit annoyed that I'd missed it. But when I was looking at that, I really felt like, you know, it's been a hard week for me this week with the decision that's been made in the vote. And, you know, I've sort of been in shock, and a lot of people I've spoke to have been in shock. And one of the best things I heard on the radio was a bishop saying that some people will be feeling elation this week, and some people will be feeling a sense of bereavement and mourning. And he said, what's really important is that we think not with what we're feeling, but we, and when you see those people riding around in their cars with their Union Jacks, jubilant, I thought, you know, we'd need to be thinking of how other, the other side of feeling maybe this week as well, not just thinking how we're feeling. And a lot. And I was swimming yesterday night with my boy in the streets at the Lido. It was a lovely sunny evening, and I got chatting to a man in the changing room. Sounds a bit dodgy, but. You know, we were both sort of in shock talking about this. It was like, you know, we were of one mind, how we felt. And when I saw that picture, I thought that's really hopeful. That really spoke to me, because it was like, you know, for some of us, we might be feeling, where are we heading? There's a lot of thorn bushes and a lot of difficulties and maybe a lot of hard times ahead, and challenges. But it's like, because we have God, that he is like those tracks, that they are set down like our firm foundation of where we're heading. We know where we're heading. We know we're in his hands. And I need to hold on to that to take my hope from that, because our hope is just from him, from nothing less. And so I just wanted to share, if you were feeling a bit like that, and I know not all of you are, some of you are feeling very different, but I just wanted to pray for you if you were feeling a little bit nervous and a little bit anxious about the future and about where we're heading as a country, as well, you know. And I think even the people probably who voted to leave are feeling a little bit nervous as well and anxious. So why don't we just pray? And I would love, I'm not just saying to do this as some big thing, but if you want to pray as well, add a prayer, please do that. We'll do this together just for each other and for our friends that we know who might be finding this time is a challenging time for all of us. And I don't know whether we did all this morning. Did you do all this morning? Okay. So all right, let's go. And some of you probably weren't here this morning. So let's just do that as a church together. Just lift each other up. And Lord, I really want to just thank you for that picture of the future, Father, that as John so nicely said, that there is hope ahead, Lord, that the bushes and the scrub are temporary. They've just sprung up. But Father, we can work our way through because of those solid tracks that carry us through, Father God, and trusting in your word, trusting that we are children of God, trusting that we have a hope and a future in you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that our future ultimately, Father, is in the heaven, that place for the better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Father, that is our destination. And we will get there, Father, because you've guaranteed it, because we said yes to you, Jesus. And so I really do thank you for that, Lord, hope. Let us hold on to the hope that we have in you. And Father, I pray especially for those people who are feeling especially worried, concerned, perhaps even a sense of being bereaved for the things that have gone, Father, and not feeling desperately excited about the future. And I pray, Father, especially for those people, that you would comfort them, that you would help them find positivity and hope and encouragement and a way forwards to pick themselves up, Father, in your strength, the strength of your Holy Spirit, the comforter and the guide, and just to let's just keep going together. And that they would even be encouraged by the words of somebody else, even someone in this room this week, that we would speak life to other people and hope and enthusiasm, and like that, some like John again said tonight, that liquid sunshine, that verbal sunshine, that we can spur each other on, Lord God. And I do really pray for those people who are still in shock and struggling with this decision, Father. And we pray for them that you would bless them, Lord God. Oh, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Neil, for that. It's great how the Lord works, isn't it? I I planned to do more or less exactly that and forgot. So I'm really pleased you did that. And one thing that if you're into, come on up, Philip, if you're into Facebook, you'll have seen that there's an awful lot of vitriol flying around from various sides on. Well, from the two sides on Facebook, and it just struck me that this is, you know, this could be an opportunity to, you know, bring the grace of God into these conversations without perhaps prolonging them unnecessarily. But you know, some people need to see, you know, the grace and the love of God. Philip, thank you.
I hope I'm not going to put the cat among the pigeons. 60 years ago, at least, when I hadn't been following the Lord Jesus very long, at one of our ministry meetings during the week, we had a gentleman come and talk to us who was quite up on prophecy. And he spoke on the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in Daniel 2. And he said to this, "You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, and in a more enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. And while you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold were broken into pieces at the same time and became like chaff on the threshing floor in the summer." Now, he interpreted this image of consecutive kingdoms, empires that would take the place of the empire in Babylon, because it was written to Daniel when he was in Babylon, the same time as we were thinking of this morning. And he spoke of the Roman Empire was the one that was represented by iron. And there would be, the Roman Empire would collapse, which it did, and another empire would take its place. And 60 years ago, the concept of the EEC was being mooted, but it was just a dream. And he could see the possibility of a new empire coming up that would take the place of the Roman Empire. But he said also, and I don't know where he got the scripture from, and this is what I remember so clearly as a young Christian, that he said, "The outer isles will not be part." Now, when many years later EEC came and we joined, I thought, well, my dear brother, you've got that wrong completely. But then we never joined the monetary union. And this weekend, I just feel so encouraged that God knows what he's doing. We were reminded this morning of that wonderful promise that God made, and I want to take it out of context again. That God says, "I have plans for you," and he has plans for us as a nation, and not to harm us. If we look further on in here, talking about the last of these empires, it says, "And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay." Now, don't take this as what God is actually doing, but I feel so encouraged that what that dear man said so many years ago seems to have come to pass, certainly in my lifetime.
Sort of follows on, but it's not quite as widely. Anyway, We have a son who came home this weekend, and he at the minute isn't walking with God. He actually does work for an MP in the House of Parliament, so we've had a lovely weekend catching up. But from time to time, he drops something in a conversation, and I know it's, you know, God has a plan for all of our children, whether they're walking with him or not, and we desire, don't we, that they walk closely with him. Anyway, Theo at the minute doesn't choose to walk closely with God. He chooses to do good things, and he does lovely things, and he's kind, and he's generous, and all the rest. But anyway, he doesn't walk with God. And a while ago, he said to me, he said, I was walking home late at night, and he said, I saw some Christians, like you, he said, and they were giving out food on the streets. He said, and they were praying for people. And he said, I think that's really, you know, that's what Christians should do, isn't it? I said, yeah, Theo, I agree with you. Yeah, that's great. And I was thinking, we've been praying for Theo for quite a few years now, thinking of the plan of God that God has got on our lives, particularly on our children's lives. And we pray for Theo, and then we just let him do whatever he's doing, and we trust him, you know, give him over to God. Anyway, this weekend he came back. He said, we were sitting having tea, and he said, this reminds me, many years ago, about 5 years ago, he went to Africa, and I felt very strongly I needed to pray for him every day. So I was beavering away every day, just a little prayer. And I never really knew what God was doing at that time. And he let a few things drop over the years about the guy with the gun and how he got away from the guy with the gun and things like that. And I was thinking, God is looking after him, keeping him safe. And today he was saying, sitting having tea, he said, and it was a beautiful scenery, he said, and there were hanging flowers. He said it was a bit like Garden of Eden, I suppose. He said, but next door there's a church, and they were singing these gospel songs. And he said, it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. Thinking, I don't know what God's doing in Theo's heart or what he's doing in his life, but God's got a plan for him to do him good. And every so often he drops in these stories of how God has shown him something or he's met somebody. So it sort of follows on a bit of what we've been saying about God having a plan and God wanting to do us good. And I suppose what I'm saying is, if you have unsaved children in particular, you know, we just pray for them and we just ask God to do what he's doing. And hopefully, from time to time, we get a bit of feedback.
I did have something I wanted to share, and that leads on really good with that. So sorry if it's me again. But I took my son out camping last night, Peter, our youngest. He's quite quiet. He doesn't say a lot, like me and James. And, it was just an amazing night. You know, sometimes wildflowers and the Lido swimming. And then I wanted to go. It was my agenda. So we went swimming for Peter. Then I wanted to go and see the large blue butterflies. Has anyone been to see them near Street? It's one of the rarest butterflies. It was extinct, and they reintroduced it from Sweden. So it's a Swedish immigrant that they've re-released. So I'm just thinking, and now it's coming out. Anyway, so it was a bit late in the day, but of course the weather was improved beautifully, and we climbed over this hill, over this ridge, and we got just amazing view. It's on a steep escarpment, ant hills, and Peter's just got, you know, sometimes people, I just believe some people have just got God's grace on them sometimes. Peter just, he spots things, you know, he spots the orchid. I couldn't see any orchids. He spotted three orchids as we were walking along. I didn't see a single orchid. And I thought, you know, he's just got it tonight. It's like God's just with him. And we hadn't seen any, it's too late. We hadn't seen these butterflies. So I was sort of just praying a bit in my head. And I didn't even know where the path was. I knew, I'd looked on the internet, I knew there was a proper path system. I thought, there's no paths here, there's just one. We're just walking through this field. Where's the paths? Where's all the people? Where's there no one here? I know it's 6 o'clock, something. And next minute, this man appears. So I beeline over to, oh, thank goodness for that. Oh, hello, are you here to see the butterflies? So we got the right place, because there was no butterflies. And on the internet, it said you'll see 6 or 7 and all these different types. And he says, yeah, I'm looking for butterflies. So I said, come on, Peter, we'll start looking. So, and the man turned out he'd come all the way from Essex to see butterflies yesterday, just for the day. He'd come there in the morning, the weather was bad, and he'd spent 3 hours looking for the butterflies, hadn't seen the blue butterfly, the big blue butterfly. So he'd gone on down to Devon to see another, the second rarest butterfly in Britain, some brown butterfly near Exeter. And he'd seen the brown butterflies. And he just thought as he was driving home, he'd come back to see if he could see the blue butterfly again. And he hadn't had any luck. So as soon as we started looking with him, Peter saw a blue butterfly. Like a minute, we followed this butterfly and it landed, and we're there, oh, because they're only blue on the inside, not on the outside of the wings. They're quite grey on the outside. And we're like, come on, open your wings, open your... And we got closer and closer, and then it flew off. And then, so we walked along. The man was elated that he'd seen a butterfly, let alone with the wings open. So we look again. The next minute, Peter spots another one. So in all, we saw, we had 5 sightings of butterflies in about 10 minutes. And we got so close, we were this close to the butterfly, watching it. Come on, open your wings, open your wings. It's not gonna, and I'm sort of going, Lord, please let the butterfly open its wings. And Peter's really sort of kind of uninterested, and I'm the one interested. But he's like, is that a blue butterfly? And it's, yeah, this man is like, oh, yes, come on, Peter, you've got to come with us because that's where we're going to see the butterfly. So this man totally bought into the idea that Peter was like this, I shouldn't say good luck charm, but it was just like, you know, God's favour was with him, I believe, that night. You know, you can wrap it up in whatever words you want, but I believe God's favour was really with him. And I was saying, you know, this is Peter, it's just God's favour with you tonight. And eventually we got a little opening. I even got a picture for 2 seconds. One of them opened its wings. And, you know, this man was so blessed to be with us, and we were blessed to be with him. Because, you know, if I hadn't have seen him, I think we would have given up and walked away. But the fact we saw him, we went over to him. And it was just, you know, an amazing evening. And we got to the campsite. And it was 9 o'clock up on the Mendips. It was really late. And then it started raining. We had amazing rainbows. And we were in this shed trying to put a tent up, a brand new tent that we didn't know how to put up, in a garage. And I was just like, let's just go home. Peter started crying now because the rain was coming down and we couldn't get the tent off. It was like, and I was saying, yeah, let's just go home. We're only half an hour. It's like, I thought, no, your dad, you've got to show Peter about persevering and pushing through. And I really didn't want to. I said, right, we'll wait for the rain to stop and then we'll carry the tent physically out onto the field and put it up. Well, we did all this. And as we carried the tent, we looked over our shoulder and it was black as thing. But then the sun came through and like this clouds, the whole sky went bright orange. It was amazing. And, you know, we had a good night. But when Josie said today, she said, you know, Peter, when I got home, she said, Peter actually turned the DS off to tell me about his night out. And if you have children, you will know that is so major as such. He doesn't say much, but the fact he turned his DS to tell his mum and he told her about that sky, I think probably more than the butterflies for him. But, you know, and I know I'm waffling on, sorry, but the thing was, we had a Bible study this morning because I thought, we're going to go for a walk. We're not going to do church. We haven't got time to rush back for church. You know, God is with us. We're just going to have a little Bible study out there in the field. So we got the Bible open. We were doing Gideon. And I'd already thought about it yesterday, about a little verse to share with him and give him a little Bible verse in a little pot thing, like a present, and about Gideon. Anyway, we were doing the Bible study. The wind got hold of the Bible, flicked the pages over. Peter says, just read it where it stopped. Read it where it stopped. So we read open and I'd underlined something in that bit of the Bible. So that's the bit I went to. And I don't know if anyone can find the bit about the thorn in the side, Paul's thorn in his side. Does anyone find that now? Because it would be... So we read that verse to him. Jill's going for it, I think. Has anyone else got it? Andy, have you got it? Oh. Oh, would you... Do you want to read it out, Jill?
I hope it's the right one. I'm just...
Yes.
Yeah.
to keep me from becoming conceited because of surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Do you want to carry on, Hal?
Yeah, and then what does it? Three times I pleaded to take it away, but he said, yeah, therefore I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then you are strong. And that was, and the thing I said to Peter, I said, have you got a thorn in your side? And he told me, yes, Dad, I've got, and there's something that he struggles with, you know, quite a big thing. You know, that was a word for him this morning, and it was amazing. Sorry, it's just yeah, that's about it. But it was like God turned up. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I'll hide behind you. Just a quick one. 2 weeks ago, Monday, every Monday actually, we meet at Linda's and pray. And there's a small group of us that do that. And that particular Monday, John was going to be there. So we were really blessed to be able to pray with him. And we took communion and that together. It was a really lovely, special morning. And when it was time to leave, we all sort of descended at the same time. And on the way home, just as I was going through the lanes, there was, as I come to a junction, there's a great big bird of prey that was perched on the gatepost. It was about that big. I have no idea what bird it was. And I was just really encouraged by that because it was quite a heavy morning at times. And it was just a huge encouragement. And I felt as I was just carrying on my journey that God was saying, this is who I am. I see everything. I hear everything. Come and sit under my wing and I'll take care of you. And obviously I felt I needed to share that back with John and Linda, which I did. And as they were spending time sharing the morning activities together, so John had said that it reminded him of when he went to Father Brennan and that he spent time on his own seeking God and a bird of prey flew overhead. And he was reminded of the scripture, Isaiah 40, which is one of his favourite verses. And it says, do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power to the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and soar on wings like eagles. They will not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. Get my words out. So we were really encouraged by that it was a real, you know, visual scripture that was sort of spoke out there, and we were able to you know, encourage John with that and also encourage the group with it that God spoke that morning. So that was good.
Can't hear any more chairs scraping. Thanks for those contributions. Thanks, Neil, and thanks, Amanda, just for, you know, for talking about, you know, things that are really, you know, precious and close to you, and I can perhaps, you know, encourage you, because our middle daughter that you don't know, she has. Over the last 15, 20 years, spent quite a long time away from God. And when her daughter Ruby was born, that sort of marked the point where she started to come back to God. In fact, last week she said, I think it was the week before, she just sort of casually dropped into the conversation that actually she played for worship at church 2 weeks ago, which I think it was the first time that she'd done that for, I don't know how long, probably 20 years. I mean, she's a brilliant musician, but she had lost her way. But keep praying in there, keep praying for Theo and Peter and our kids. Such such an important thing to do is to is to pray daily for them. I think perhaps we draw things to a close there. Thank you ever so much for those contributions. What I would just encourage you to do is, perhaps re-listening to some of the stories that we've heard tonight on the web. As we go through this week, particularly pray for, the current situations, political situations, and particularly for our MP or our MPs who are going to be, in the thick of it this week. And as, can't remember who it was now, but was talking about, let's just consciously choose to just to spread the love and the grace of God to those people that we talk about, lots of people hurting. And so if I can encourage you to do that, let's stand and we'll say the grace together, shall we? Sorry, I should have said great also to see Maria here tonight. Just reminded me because I said stand and because she can't. It's great to see you here tonight. Let's say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.